I want to do something we're going to do a little different this morning. It's family day. I know the kids are all in here, so I'm not going to talk for an hour like I normally do. We're going to do it a little differently. But I do have a couple things I want to share first before we do that, and then we'll finish up. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love our families, whether they're old or young, houses full of children or not, single parent, two parent, whatever it is, Lord. We love family. We know that you have built your church on families, and families have served and been a key part of your church and your kingdom for a long time. So we want to honor what you've started and taught us in your word, and we want to build families. And so I pray for your grace to do that and for you to just speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to give you a slight break today from our Malachi series, but I do want to use a couple of the verses that we've been talking about, that we've been using in Malachi. And last week in particular, I referenced a couple different passages. Now, if you're a Wednesday night, or if you're a cafe-er on Wednesday, I'm going to show you this Wednesday these verses in a different way, and it's going to kind of blow your mind. So if you'd like to go a little bit deeper, Wednesday night is for you. So we're going to do that. But the first verse, and speaking of families, and I'm talking about families, what can we do as families with kids and as a church family, what can we do to best raise up our kids, help our kids to be the real deal for Christ when they get older? In Malachi, they were very religious. They did a lot of religious things. They were precisely religious. And God said, man, you are so far off. You are so far gone. You don't even know who I am. And so we don't want our kids to do that. And we as parents, that looks like a huge task for us to raise these little ones to be the real deal, to know God, to know who he is, and to follow him in a way that he looks down on them and blesses them. And that's what we want. That's what we want to do here. We want to help families do that. We want you to be able to do that. So the first thought I have is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The verse we looked at last week was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Let me read to you three verses here. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So let's apply this to families. Let's apply this to our home and to our church. Let's apply this to our kids, all right? Verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. As we look at our kids and as we look at this changing world and we look at the task of teaching and raising and preparing our children to grow up and to be Christians in this world, it can seem overwhelming. Just getting to church on Sunday morning is a task, right? I mean, that's big. But let me just share with you this verse. Verse 10 is your verse. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation. When you're trying to lay a foundation of Jesus Christ in your children, and we're trying to do it here at church at Cornerstone, we want to lay that foundation of Jesus Christ. There's two things about it we need to know. Number one, we can go to God for grace to do that. You don't have to be a theologian to raise your kids for Christ. You don't have to know every book of the Bible inside and out. You don't have to be spot perfect to raise your kids for Jesus Christ. There's grace for that. By the grace given to me, he says, according, and that's the Apostle Paul speaking, according to the grace of God given to me, now listen to this, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation. You want to be a skilled master builder, laying a foundation in your kids' lives. There's grace for that. There's grace for that. It's not all about you. It's not all about your skills and your Bible knowledge. I better take a class and I better do this and I gotta. There's grace for that. Start there. Start with the Lord. Go to God for grace to say, Lord, help me to lay this foundation of Jesus Christ in my kids' lives. I need your grace. I need your help. Every parent of every flavor can do this. There is grace for every one of us. You have to know this. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. It's Jesus Christ alone, and you are laying the foundation. Here's what you need to know. Someone else is going to build on it. He says, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. We're going to lay foundations in our children's lives. And you better bet your dollar somebody else is going to come along and build on it. It's not just about me and you. It's just not about this church. Our kids are going to grow up and there's going to be people and places and things and Christians building on the foundation of our kids' lives. We're going to teach them about Jesus, and like so many of our kids, they may pray and commit their life to Jesus, may even be baptized, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to go to high school, and they're going to go to college, and they're going to pick their own church, and they're going to pick their own way eventually, and somebody else is going to build on that foundation. We need to lay a good, strong foundation for our kids. There's grace for you and me. No matter where we're at in our life, in our faith walk, no matter where we're at, there is grace. All we got to do is go to Him and say, God, I want to lay a skilled foundation in my children. You can't just say, well, this is going to be between them and God. Well, someday they'll find their own way. Well, you got to be that skilled master builder. There's grace to do it. And that's what we want to do here at Cornerstone. We want to help families to do that. We'll help you. If you want our help, we'd be glad to help you lay that foundation. There's grace for you to do that. Secondly, the next scripture I used last week was 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. Our kids are going to grow up here. Our kids are going to grow up in your home. And our thought now and our command from God is this. You've accepted Christ. And when I see someone who accepts Christ, they come to church and they are kind of looking for, they are kind of thinking, I'm going to go to that church where I'm going to find brotherhood. I'm going to find friends. I'm going to find people who are going to come around me, and we're going to support each other. I'm going to find encouragement there. And we go to church, and we find that friendship. We find that encouragement and that support, that brotherly love. But Peter is telling us here that you found this sincere brotherly love, but now I want you to love each other earnestly, and now he's changed his entire word. He's gone from Philadelphia, brotherly love, to agape love. I want you to grow from that brotherly love to an agape love, to a sacrificing, tight-knit, close love of God, really. A sacrificial love that we so care about one another. And our kids come right with us. Our kids walk right with us. Our kids pray with us. We're going to pray for Deanna this week, and we're going to pray for Wendy as she travels. We're going to pray for Shane and Heather this week, and our kids are going to pray with us because we have an agape love for each other. We hurt for one another. We think about each other all through the week. And Peter says, look, you got to go past this brotherly love, past this casual thing on Sunday morning to where you've got to love each other with God's love. I want to see you grow. I want to see your love grow. He says down in chapter 2, he says, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Our kids need to see us grow. Our kids need to see us hurting for one another and our love growing for one another. It's not coincidental that in the first verse he said, put away all the malice and the deceit and the hypocrisy and the blah, 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 blah. Put that all away. Get rid of all that. Our kids will hear that. Our kids will overhear that. They will know better. Put that away. They need to see us grow in our love for one another. They need to see our life and our heart ache for one another. That's what our kids need to see as we grow. Finally, and thirdly, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, and that's just strangers and exiles, and you know what? We are strangers and exiles. This is not our home. We should feel really strange here sometimes. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which war against your soul. You know what our kids need to see? They don't need to see perfect parents. They don't need to see perfect people at church. But they do need to see people who are winning the war. They do need to see us conquering these things. We're winning the wars. There are passions of our flesh and of this life. Did you catch that verse? They war against our soul. We look around sometimes and we see these little things out there and they go, I'm not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt my kids. That's not going to hurt the church. Okay, all right, this is me. It's something I like. I know. That verse says it wars against our souls. And our kids know what wars against our souls. Our kids know us a whole lot better than we think they do. Our kids look at us and they see the battles we're fighting in our souls. And they need to see us winning some of those battles. They don't need us to be perfect. They just need to know, you know what, Daddy or Mommy, you know what, I'm trying. I am growing. I am working on this. I need to do better at this. Will you pray for me? Let's pray tonight as a family. Let's do this. I need to win this battle. It could be big or it could be small. But these little passions of our flesh, these little passions of our culture, they war against our soul, and our kids see it, and sometimes they feel the battlefield going on in our soul. They don't need you to be perfect. They just need to see you winning some wars. If we can't win the wars, why should they care? Why should they even care? Mom or dad doesn't care. It's not that important to them. They've been carrying this ball and chain around for half their life. They've always been this way. Now they need to see us winning some wars. There's some serious wars going on in some of our lives. There's grace for us. There's grace for us to skillfully lay the foundation and to help build. They need to see us grow. They need to see our love growing deeply for one another, not hear the garbage. They need to see us sacrificially loving one another and growing. And they need to see us winning some wars. They need to see us changing. Dad's not who he used to be. Mom's not who she was. She has come so far. He has come so far. They need to see us winning some wars. I want to introduce you this morning to my daughter, Amanda. Amanda, come on up, Amanda. We have... Don and Ruth, good luck over there, man. It's my grandkids. Have a seat, man. It's my daughter, Amanda. She's early 30s something. And... Amanda's been on quite a journey in her life, grew up a Christian, accepted Christ, prayed that prayer when she was young, baptized, yeah, and then grew up. I was there. I grew up and got married, now has these three beautiful kids. So I'm going to begin, Oliver, Henry, and Simon. I'm going to ask you three questions. You know what they are. And I'm going to just interview Amanda this morning. We're very proud of her. Question number one. As you look back on your childhood, you long-winded preacher like your dad. As you look back on your childhood, what are a couple meaningful things that you look back on as valuable to you?
When it comes to being involved in church, our parents took us to everything. Dad had a nursing home ministry, and he would go and preach at a nursing home, and they didn't leave us with family or friends. We went with. We would go, and you know, we would just kind of mingle in with the old folks, and we'd sit there, and we'd listen to Dad preach. We would go... back when they had the door-to-door ministry, and we did that. We went along on that too. Amy was telling me a story. She remembered going with Dad on a door-to-door ministry and stopping at this man's house and going in with Dad and sitting and listening to Dad talk to this man about Christ and leading this man to Christ. And it was just so powerful being involved with all these things. You know, I mean, they had the youth group ministry. We did church potlucks like we do here. You know, church picnics, Awana. There were just a dozen things. They had us involved in the church, and we were just always there and immersed in it. And it was just, it like Dad said, I mean, you pretty much took my whole sermon. It was the foundation that they laid for us, being involved and just being there with the people, with, you know, seeing people who believed in Christ, and you would hear their stories of how the Lord worked in their own lives. And, you know, I mean, you go out and, you know, the boys, they come home from school, and, I mean, they've got some stories to tell, you know, from their friends about the things that they're going through. And I mean, they come home, and I have to tell them, you know, I don't, you know, it sounds like their, you know, their parents probably don't believe in Jesus, you know, and that's why they treat their kids this way. That's why they act this way, you know, and they don't get that out there. They have to come in here and be around people who can see the Lord working and can see these things happening and can say, you know what, that's the Lord moving. The Lord is doing this, you know, and it's just being here and being involved in things in church. It helps set up that foundation for them. and getting to know the people in their church, getting to know their family, because you guys are our family. And the other thing was, you know, we did Bible studies at home. Dad would sit down with us, and he would read from the Bible. We would do Bible studies. Mom taught us songs and then made us get up in front of church and sing them. You know, and seeing our parents. I mean, I remember at Appalachian Bible College, you know, we would come in, and Dad would be sitting there at his little desk studying his Bible, doing his work, and they would pray with us. It was all the things at home, too. You know, I mean, it wasn't just, oh, we went to church, we spent time with people, we went out to the nursing home and door to door. We came home, and our parents read to us from the Bible, and they prayed with us, and they built that foundation for us. As kids, I know my children, they can barely sit still for 2 minutes in church. They're not going to sit and read their Bibles on their own. I have to do that with them. And I have to help them build that foundation, because they're not going to do it on their own. They'll get to an age someday where they can start reading their Bible, and they'll start to understand things a little bit better. But right now, I'm the one that has to do that for them. So those are all things that were valuable to me.
All right. Question number two, this is going to be a much more difficult personal question. So you heard that beauty, that bliss. As Amanda got a little bit older, her mom and dad broke up. Her family broke up. She's from a broken home. Then she got married. Amanda, we're getting close to an anniversary here, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Amanda lost her husband 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
This month.
Yep.
4 years ago this month, Alan kissed her. Henry was almost one.
He was 7 months.
7 months.
He wasn't real close to one. Oliver was four, Simon was two, and Henry was 7 months. And Alan gave me a kiss and left for work that morning. And on his way to work, he was in a car accident and he died.
So, it's unreal. It's unreal. So my question then is, she's looking at a task that I've seen as a pastor. I've seen broken home, lost your husband. How you're going to go one of two ways at this point. This is warring against your soul. You're either going to curse God and walk off into the sunset, or your faith means something. Amanda, you just dug in to your faith. What happened?
After I lost Alan, and I don't know if very many people know about this, but 10 days after I lost Alan, my mom rushed me to the hospital, and I found out at the hospital that we were pregnant again, and I had lost the baby. We had been trying for a girl, because we had three boys, and Alan, he really wanted a little girl, and we lost her, and I was bleeding internally, and I almost died. And I remember, you know, I mean, at the time, I felt nothing but pain. I mean, inward and outward, all I felt was pain. There was nothing. There was no ray of light. There was nothing. And as I laid there on this bed, and the nurse was getting me ready, I was alone in this room except for this nurse who was getting ready to take me in for the doctor to do surgery. I laid there on this bed, and all I felt was pain, and I laid there, and I begged this nurse to let me die. I said, please, I said, you do not understand. I said, just let me go. I had three babies at home. Three, and I couldn't even, I was so full of hurt and pain, I couldn't even think of them, my babies waiting at home for me, wondering if their mama's gonna come home. They've just lost their daddy, and they don't know where mom's at. You know, I mean, they're hurting themselves, and all I felt was this pain. And anybody who has suffered loss, you can understand how it's like hitting a brick wall. It's like everything in your life is just flipped on its ear, and you just realize in that instant, none of this will last. My parents, my dad, I mean, you look at your parents, and they are a pillar in your life. I mean, they are like that constant. They are always going to be there for me. You look at your children, and you're like, oh, I'm going to raise them, you know, I'll have them for years, and then someday, hopefully, they'll take care of me. None of it lasts. It's sitting there thinking to myself, I was like, what am I going to do? Am I going to lose my house? I have no money. My husband, my pillar, is gone. Who else am I going to lose? You know, it took a while to sink in and make me realize that there is nothing on this earth that lasts. And that's when the Lord spoke and he said, Manda, I last. I am here and I am not going anywhere. And I had that foundation that I grew up with as a child, and I fell back on that and I said, Lord, you are still here. You are the only thing that I can count on. Someday, my parents will be gone. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I don't know that I'll have my children until I die. I don't know that. I don't know that something won't happen, that my house won't burn down while I'm at church today. I don't know that. And I've really had, I really had to fall back on the Lord and just say, Lord, you are my only constant. You are the only thing that lasts, and you will make everything new, and you will make everything right. One verse that really jumped out to me is Jeremiah 29:11, and now that I'm on the spot, hopefully I can remember it. But it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. And, I mean, that right there is just huge to me. I mean, you go through this, and you go through all this pain, and it's like, Lord, in your mind, you know, at first you're thinking, Lord, you've taken everything from me. But as things progressed and I started looking at it, and especially now, I can look back on that first year especially, and I'm just like, wow, Lord, you did so much good in this. I mean, I saw relationships mended. I saw people who had fallen so far from the Lord come back and just, you know, it just brought people back to the Lord. And there were so many people that I thought to myself, oh, I would never be able to talk to them about God, coming up to me and saying, Manda, how are you getting through this? And I'm like, let me tell you. It's amazing seeing the work that he's done in this. And I told Dad one day, I said, you know, I said, if I could give anything to have Alan back, I would do it. But at the same time, I wouldn't be able to give up what the Lord has given me through this. And without having lost him, I wouldn't have what the Lord fortified me with. But it was all that foundation, the foundation that we had set up, that I'd set as a child. I had that to fall back on. And
when you go through, when that time comes, and she's met at the door with the sheriff, and when that moment comes, the foundation had better be laid. Because there's no words. There's no words that Dad or Mom or anybody else can do at that point. It's crunch time. And so she chose the Lord. She chose the Lord. So moving forward, Manda, you have a huge responsibility now. You have these three boys. You're alone. You have family around you, but you know that you're the primary. What are you trying to do? What do you want to do for them moving forward? What's your plan? How are you going to raise them so if this moment comes in their life, they choose what you chose?
It all comes back down to the foundation. I do Bible studies with them at home. I help them memorize verses. I make them go to church and sing in front of you guys. We come to the potlucks, and I try to keep them involved. I want them to know all of you. I want them to get to know everybody here. I want them to hear your stories. I want them to hear how the Lord has worked in your lives. I want to set that foundation for my children, because it's not a matter of if they go through something hard, it's a matter of when they go through the next thing. Because in this life, that's what it is. You're always going to have something hitting you like a ton of bricks. And I want them to understand that nothing here lasts. Mom will not always be able to be there. I will do as much as I can for them, especially now while they're young. I mean, if I could climb on that bus with them and get in that bully's face, I would do it. I can't. But these are all things that they have to realize. I'm not always going to be that pillar that they need me to be. I'm imperfect. I'm not God. He's the only one that can be their foundation and that they can fall back on when they have nothing else. And that's what I want for them. I mean, there are so many things as a mother I want, but I know that if they have that, they really don't need anything else.
Did you want to sing one of those songs that you...
I only remember a part of one, and it was my favorite but one, but it went something like, something about Noah and sleeping with a smelly kangaroo. Something like that, but I really don't even remember the whole song, so I couldn't, but thanks. You want me to go?
No.
Okay.
Kids stay. We're obviously amazed and proud of our daughter. Really, there's very little that she made it sound a lot better on my behalf than it probably was. I was not a skilled master builder. But I want us to know there's grace. There's grace for this moment. There's grace for you as parents and for us as a church to look at every one of these little ones here, every single one, and to go, we play a part in their life, because these moments are going to come. Which direction are they going to go? Lay the foundation. There's grace. Manna, we love you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace and the power of it. You love us so much. You do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think through some of the hardest times we'll ever know. You are good. You're a good, good Father, and we thank you, and we pray your grace upon each parent here. We pray your grace upon each Sunday school teacher, upon each one of our family here at Cornerstone, as we put our lives next to these children and these kids. Lord, may you bless us. May you bless these kids with this foundation of Jesus Christ that will never, never fall. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys. Have a great weekend.